Morning, everyone. Welcome to Chatham Community Church. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm glad to see y'all here this morning. I want to extend a particularly warm welcome to those of you who are guests. I'm glad you're here with us this morning. If this does happen to be your first time, or whether it's been a while since you've been in here, I'd love to say hi to you. So at the end of the service, I'm going to be just outside the exit doors. Come by. We'd love to hear your name, a little bit more about how you found us and what your experience was like this morning, and want to make sure we get you one of our welcome bags so that you have more information about us. So as you're deciding whether or not this might be a place where God is inviting you to spend your time while you're in Chatham County, you have as much information as we can give you today, and you can make an informed and a wise decision. Before we start with the sermon, I just want to say a few words acknowledging that the last who knows how long in our country, but particularly this week, there's been sort of violence has been a significant theme. Death has been a significant theme, and particularly for many folks in our community have been struck by the assassination that occurred on a college campus this week. What we want to say, or what I'd like to say about that is every time someone loses their life to violence, it grieves the heart of God. And so we are grieved. We are grieved at the death. We are grieved at the violence that occurred there. We're grieved at the violence that occurred at the schools. We're grieved at the violence that occurred on a bus. We're grieved at the violence that occurred at a church. We're grieved at all that violence. It saddens the heart of God. We're going to pray in just a moment. And part of why we're going to pray is because accessing the spiritual resources is the best recourse we have. It is not the only recourse we have, but it is the best recourse we have. So I want to say one thing, or a few things. One is that always in response to acts of violence, there are voices that want to inspire retaliatory violence. And they want to inspire also to categorize people, whoever they are, as the enemy. And what Scripture tells us is that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Our battle is against the powers and principalities, the spiritual forces of evil. And so it is important to remember that, and that is why we go first to prayer. Because the source, or the father of all that violence and all that murder is the prince of evil. And so we want his efforts to stop. We want his influence to end. The other thing is to caution against seeing other people, whatever group they might be part of, as our enemy. After the first murder, when God explores what has gone on, one of the primary things that he discovers in the person who committed the murderer is that that person had stopped caring for the person that they murdered. The way the person responds to God when God questions them about the murder is he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And from his heart, the answer is clearly no, but from God's heart, the answer is clearly yes. We are each other's keeper, whether we agree or disagree. So let's pray. We'll pray for comfort. We'll pray for wisdom. We'll pray for love. Because in the kingdom that is coming and that is here, in the kingdom of God of all eternity, there will be no more violence. There will be no more murder. And we want that to continue to break through even in the here and now. Let's pray. Father, we stand in grief with all those who are grieving this morning and have been grieving this week and have been grieving for weeks, for months, and for years. Lord, we hurt with them at the loss. Lord, I don't doubt that in a congregation of this size, the group can be even much smaller. There is likely one or more people whose lives have been touched by violence and who maybe have lost someone to violence. So, Lord, those people know even more intimately than those of us who haven't what it feels like. So, Lord, give us all a heart of compassion. Give us all a heart to stand with the victims of violence and the people who remain. Lord, we pray your comfort for spouses that have lost the people that they loved and committed their lives to. We pray for comfort for parents who have lost their children. We pray for comfort for children who have lost their parents. We pray for comfort for siblings who have lost sisters and brothers. We pray for comfort, Lord, for friends who have lost folks that they walked alongside. Lord, you are near the brokenhearted, and there are many brokenhearted people today. Would you be near? Lord, we pray you would silence the voices that would inspire us to retaliate, to take into our hands balancing the scales. Because that is your job. You are the God of justice. And Lord, in whatever way we are to take action, we pray that it would be guided by you. Lord, we pray against the spiritual forces of the evil one. We pray against the one who would stoke violence, who would delight in nothing more than an end of life begetting more ending of life. We silence that voice. We silence the one who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we pray that the voice of the one who has come to bring life and life in abundance would ring louder in our ears and our hearts, and in the ears and hearts of those who have responsibility or who are responding and influencing to all these situations. Not just the ones this week, but the ones in weeks prior and the ones that may come, though we pray that no more may come, Lord Jesus. Father, we long to see sisters and brothers and the people that we meet change our hearts. Change our hearts and birth in us, in our community, and then in our town and beyond, the fruit of life, the fruit of peace, the fruit of joy, the fruit of love, and the fruit of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. All right. Just going to note, hard shift. We're moving to the sermon. So just noting that. In one of the towns that I moved into, there was a restaurant very close to where I lived. I love food, so this was a happy thing for me because it made the type of cuisine that I loved, and it wasn't just close to where I lived; it was on my way to everything. And so I thought, this is great, and also this might be a little too great. I couldn't wait to try it out. I was so excited once we settled in to try out this restaurant. And I went, and y'all, it was so disappointing. It was so disappointing. It was disappointing, and I took it personally. I don't know why, but I took it personally. I think I so wanted to have this spot, to have that kind of story where I could say, yeah, you know, on my way to work or on my way home, there's this spot that I can stop in that has this great food, and I'm a regular, and they know my order. I can order the usual, and it's so great. But, like, it was not that, and I took it personally, and I avoided it from there on out. Like, I would drive by, I wouldn't look at it. If people told me about it, I wouldn't talk to them. I would tell them that the food wasn't good, that they shouldn't go there. It just messed with me. And then one day I noticed that work was being done on it, and I'm like, you know, there's only so much frosting you can put onto something that is already not good. But they were doing work on it, and eventually I noticed that they were working on the sign. And I noticed that on the sign, new lettering was coming up, and it wasn't the lettering I was used to seeing there. I realized that it was under new management. And based on the new name, once they finally finished stenciling in the letters, I realized that it was going to be the same type of cuisine. And now, I started to get my hopes up. Because maybe I would be able to have a spot. Maybe I'd be able to have a place where everybody knows my name and they're always glad that I came. The idea that something new was coming that would meet the hope that I'd had birthed in me this sense, I can't wait to check this out. And so I was under this anticipation, I can't wait to check this out. I can't wait till it opens. And y'all, it did not disappoint. It was so good. And then I became like a fan, right? Now I had a spot. Last week, we kicked off a series here at Chatham Community Church for our fall called All In. We're making our way through the early chapters of the Gospel of Mark, which is one of the four accounts we have of Jesus's life. And part of what we're going to see in these chapters of Mark is we're going to see Jesus going all in for our world. We see him step into our reality with power, with compassion, with love, and with purpose. We see him hold nothing back for the sake of you and for the sake of me. Like the new management at this restaurant, Jesus brings with him something new, something good, something hope-inducing, something welcome, and something needed, something that the people of his time were longing for. It comes across in what he teaches. It comes across in how he engages. It comes across in the actions that he takes, and it attracts people. People are attracted to what Jesus is teaching. People are attracted to what Jesus is doing. It is compelling to them. And even in today's passage, we see a number of people respond to that by following him, by going all in, by becoming fans and followers of him. So as we journey together this fall, as we engage with Jesus, as we engage with his message, as we read through the Gospel of Mark, as we see what he does, let's consider that Jesus' message is not time-bound. It is timeless, and it is always timely, and that it is worth checking out. It is worth getting our hopes up. And that you and I are also invited to go all in, to trust fully, to follow boldly, and to live under the authority of the one who brings healing, wholeness, and salvation. Everything that we long for and need is found in him. As you listen to today's sermon, as you engage in the weeks to come, I want you to consider going all in on something with God, something that's connected to God. Whether this is your first time considering God, or whether you've considered it from afar, or whether you have been doing this for years, there's always an invitation, always something that we can go all in on with God. Some things are worth doing all in. In fact, to get the most out of some things, you can only go all in order to get the most out of them. And God, life with God, is one of them. So be open this week and in the weeks to come. Be open and engage. Be curious. Have hope. And then dive in and check it out. Because you will see the impact and the blessing that it brings, not just to you, but to those around you as well. The passage that Colleen read for us contains the first words that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Mark. And it's the kind of statement that anyone in that first century, upon hearing it, would have taken notice. And it's the kind of statement that still invites us to take notice as well. Jesus says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." That phrase, the kingdom of God, or its variation, the kingdom of heaven, shows up over 100 times in the 4 accounts we have of Jesus' life. Now, there are instances that are duplicated across some of the Gospels, but even when you take those into account, given the length of the Gospels, that's still a significant amount of times. It still indicates that the kingdom of God is an important theme of Jesus' ministry and of the message that's been communicated and passed on through generations. Which begs the question then, what is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? So let's talk about that briefly. Philosopher and professor Dallas Willard once defined the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven as the range of God's effective will. In other words, it's where what God wants done is done. Wherever you see the will of God being executed, the kingdom of God is there. And what you see as you read the accounts of Jesus' life, what you see in Jesus' ministry is the kingdom of God activated and the kingdom of God manifests. Because Jesus is all about doing the will of God. So in looking at his life, what you see is what life in the kingdom is like. And what do we see in Jesus' life? What do we read about in the Gospels? We see that where there is sickness, Jesus brings health and well-being. Where people are devalued, Jesus calls out their inherent value and dignity, and he acknowledges it. He celebrates it. Where there is spiritual oppression and where there is opposition, Jesus pushes back the darkness and brings freedom. Where there was death, Jesus brought life. And where there was darkness, Jesus brought light. Where there was a humanity that had lost itself and given itself over to the powers of sin and death, Jesus brings redemption and life for all time through his death and resurrection. Jesus opens the door for that life for each one of us. He makes the way that all makes a way so that all of us can be welcomed into that kind of life, into the kingdom for all eternity. And that is life in its fullness forever. Life in all of its fullness. Not life just at 50% some of the times, and maybe 70 other times, and maybe 10 other times, and maybe only for a few minutes at a time. No. Life in all that it entails forever. In all the goodness that it entails forever. He opens the door for a life that will be marked by love. A love for God and a love for the people around us. And he does it by leading the way, by going first, and then inviting us to follow him. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom that you see manifest throughout the Gospels. And you see signs of it around us as well. Now, there is still brokenness in our world. One day there won't be, but there is still. But at our best, and I know we're not always at our best and haven't always been at our best, Christians have carried forth the message and the practice of the kingdom everywhere we've gone, including here at Chatham County. And when we've acted it well, when we've been at our best, in fact, by God's grace, even when we've been somewhat short of our best, there has been good fruit. There's been good fruit. There has been healing. There has been freedom. There has been a valuing of people, a restoration or acknowledgement of their dignity. There has been life. And one day we're going to see the kingdom in all of its fullness and for all eternity. And that seems like a great thing to give ourselves to. That seems like a great vision to say yes to. That seems like something worth going all in on. Folks, the kingdom of God, in all that it represents, is worth going all in on. It's worth giving your life to. It's worth considering. If you're far enough away from it that you don't even know what it's about and haven't even thought about it, this is worth dedicating time to exploring whether this is worth it. And if you've given it that time, let me tell you, it is worth giving your life to. And the good news is that it's available. It's on offer for you and for me. It is on offer here and now. The kingdom of God hasn't just come near to those people in the first century. It isn't well if you weren't in that area of Galilee in the first century, you missed out. No. The kingdom of God is near now. It is near here. It is near today. It has come near to us. And the kingdom of God is still changing lives. It has changed my life. It has changed the lives of many of you here. It can still change your life today and every day forward. In the movie When Harry Met Sally, we spend a good part of the action wondering if the main characters are going to end up together. At first, they don't even seem interested. And we're wondering where this is going. But after it becomes clear that they are interested, then we start to wonder, are they going to be able to get out of each other's way in order to make this work? In one of the last few scenes, something clicks for Harry. It clicks that this is the person he loves. This is the person he wants to spend his time with. And he's in his apartment. It is late in the evening, but this is a movie. So he runs out in New York, and just makes his way to where he knows Sally is going to be. She is at a party. And he runs in, and of course, it's a movie. He finds her rather quickly. And she's surprised at what he's doing there. And she's wondering, and they go back and forth a little bit. But he comes to this point where she is asking him what he's doing here. Clearly not dressed for this party. Clearly out of breath. And he says, "I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible." It clicked for him that it was time to go all in. And he wasn't willing to let a single other moment pass without participating in that. When Jesus is announcing the kingdom, he says the time has come. And the word that we translate there as time is not referring to clock time. It's not referring to a date. It's not talking about a schedule or an appointment. The word in Greek that we translate here as time communicates a sense of opportuneness. It's like saying, this is the right time. This is a decisive moment. Something is happening and it is inviting a response. That is what that word time is communicating. And that sense of the rightness of time and the invitation to respond is still true to this day. It is true every time we hear the gospel. It is true every time we encounter the good news of the kingdom of God and that it has come near. Whether you're hearing it for the first time today or just hearing it for the first time this day, every time there is an opportunity to respond, and it is always the right time. It is always the right time to respond to Jesus' invitation. It is always the right time to say yes to Jesus. It is always the right time to go all in with Jesus. It is always a decisive moment. It is always the right time. And Jesus tells us how. You and I encounter the kingdom here today as we're together. We encounter people whose lives have been transformed. We encounter people who've had answered prayers. We encounter people in whom the Spirit is working. We encounter a God who calls us to himself. And it is always the right time to respond by going all in. It is always a decisive moment. The time has come, friends, sisters, and brothers. And Jesus tells us how in this passage. He tells us how to respond. He says, repent and believe the good news. And then Mark shows us what that looks like in the lives of people of that time. He shows us people responding to Jesus' invitation. And in that response, there's a lesson for you and a lesson for me. Note that Jesus doesn't go to the religious elites. He doesn't go to the center of religious life when he's first going to call people to follow him. He doesn't go to the expected places. He doesn't go to the people who were reading or knowing or waiting for this message in the ways that people thought it would come. He goes to the shore and he calls fishermen. These are the kinds of people who at this point in their lives would have been far past the time where they would have been following any sort of rabbi or any sort of teacher. The religious life was past them at this point. I don't think Jesus does this because he doesn't care about religious people, or he doesn't care about religious education, or he doesn't want followers with that kind of pedigree. Later on, the Apostle Paul is a founding member or a key participant in the founding of the church, and Paul is all about the religious pedigree and the education. I think he does it here in this way because from the beginning, he wants people to know that the invitation to go all in is for everyone and anyone. The invitation to go all in is for everyone and anyone. Jesus invites each of us. He invites all of us to go all in with him. The invitation is for you, and the invitation is for you, and the invitation is for you, and the invitation is for you and you. The invitation is for all of us, and it is for each of us. Some of us don't think that the invitation can be for us. For whatever reason, whether it's past, whether it's what people have told us, whether it's how we feel right now about God, we may wonder what God could possibly do with someone like us. What would God want with someone like us? Hear me clearly. God wants you. God wants you. God made you. God loves you. You have a purpose. Don't believe any lie that tells you otherwise. Whether it comes from external voices or from the own internal dialogue that you've created for yourself, Don't believe any lie that tells you that you would be a waste of time for God, or that God would be a waste of time for you. Any more time spent believing that lie is time spent living less than the life that God made you for. And God doesn't want you to live any less than the life he made you for. And once you realize that, you don't want to spend a single moment living that life either. You want to live the life God made you for. Now, Jesus and his invitation must have been compelling. People leave things, they just drop things and go. There must have been something about him and something about his message that was so compelling that people had to respond immediately, don't you think? They drop their nets, they leave family and hired and colleagues to the rest of the day's work, and they follow Jesus. What would get you to do something like that? What would have to be true about Jesus for you to do something like that? Actually quantify it, folks. What would have to be true about Jesus and about God for you to make that kind of decision, that kind of change? Whatever you're thinking, Jesus is so much better. Jesus is so much better. So much more worth it. Maybe these first century fishermen had already heard the kingdom message. Maybe they'd heard about the one who was proclaiming it. Maybe they'd heard what happened at Jesus' baptism, which we talked about last week. Whatever the case may be, I want you to note that Jesus goes and meets them where they are in order to extend the invitation to follow him. And once they hear it, they respond. Jesus meets us where we are to extend the invitation to go all in with him. You don't need to earn the right to be invited. You don't need to clear some bar or do a set of tasks or gain a certain set of knowledge in order to be invited, in order to be called by God, in order to be invited into the life with him. God makes the first move. He already has in Jesus. The kingdom has come near. The kingdom has come to us, and Jesus calls each one of us, young and old, women and men, from every socioeconomic group and from every ethnic background. The question isn't whether he's calling you or calling you or calling you or calling me. The question is whether we will follow and respond to his call. So will you follow? Will you follow? Will you follow? Will I follow today? In the passage, the two pairs of brothers each leave something or someone as they respond to Jesus' invitation. Peter and Andrew leave their nets. James and John leave their father and their colleagues. Now, it would be a mistake to interpret this as teaching that vocation and family are not important, or that it's okay to ignore responsibilities. The nets, the boat, the father, the hired men were all things that tethered them to what life was like before they met Jesus, before they received his call. And if they hold on to those things right now in the way that they'd been carrying them on, they won't be able to go all in with Jesus. They can't go and follow him while still staying in the boat. They can't go and follow him while still carrying those nets. It doesn't mean that they'll never fish again. In fact, in the Gospels we read that some of them fish again. And we read that they have interactions with family at different points later in the story. But neither their profession nor their family obligation can have the place of greatest importance in their life if they're going to go all in with Jesus. They have to trust Jesus. They have to surrender or give that to him. They have to give him the place of greatest importance and trust that he's going to reorder all the other parts in ways that are still good, that are still honoring, and that are still fruitful. The call to follow Jesus, the call to go all in, always involves being called away from something, or from the place some relationships have in our lives. The kingdom is near. Jesus meets us. He meets us here in Chatham Church, in Chatham County, at Chatham Mills. He's calling us. So if he's calling us, it begs the question, what do we need to let go of in order to respond to his all-in invitation? What things or what relationship dynamics are keeping you from responding to Jesus' call today? Let me capture it all in one question. What nets will you leave behind today in order to follow Jesus? One of our small groups this week, they were talking about this question, and one person chimed in and commented that they had spent their career in the armed forces, and they had spent so long and loved it so much that was a core part of how they thought about themselves, being part of the armed forces. It was a source of their identity. And as they had now retired from it, they were realizing that it was still their primary source of identity. It was the thing that guided how they thought, the thing that guided how they thought of themselves, the thing that guided how they thought of what they could do and what life could look like. It was all centered on this idea, I am an armed services member. And as he was struggling, this person was struggling with this passage, reading this passage, talking about this passage, he sensed that that was a net that he might need to let go of in order to follow Jesus. It wasn't that he was going to stop being a member, a retired member of the armed services, but that the place that it had needed to change. Maybe so that he could have imagination for what Jesus was calling him to in this next season of life. So take a moment. Consider what net you might need to leave behind today. If you're wondering, what could it be? Well, think of it this way. When you think of going all in with Jesus, what comes up that makes you say something like, yeah, I want to go all in with Jesus, but what about blank? Whatever's in that blank, that might be your net today. That might be your net. Jesus uses three words in the passage to talk about how to respond to the kingdom come near and his invitation to go all in. And we'll use those to guide how we might respond. He talks about repenting, he talks about believing, and he talks about following. Jesus invites us to repent, to turn from something, to give something up, to let go of something. It could be a belief, it could be an approach to life, it could be the place a relationship has in our lives, a pattern of behavior, a way of viewing others, a way of viewing yourself. Jesus says, good news. God's will, God's love manifests, God's kingdom for you are here. They are at hand and they are available. Give up anything that would keep you from taking hold of it. So what will you turn from, let go of, or give up? Jesus invites us to believe, to embrace something, and to act or live our lives in light of that. Jesus calls us to live as if the things he said about himself, about us, and about our world are true. So how are we going to engage in life differently in light of that? What truth do we need to embrace today? What will you embrace? What will you believe today? Jesus invites us to follow, to align our lives more closely with his, to learn more, to practice more the life of Jesus, to love more deeply and more truly. So where is God calling you to go all in, to surrender something, to go deeper in your faith, to bring yourself more in step with the life that Jesus lives? How might you follow today? Folks, the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. The time is now, and Jesus is inviting you. How will you repent? How will you believe? How will you follow? What net will you let go of today? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you draw near to us and your invitation is an invitation into life in all of its fullness, into a life that begets blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Lord, thank you that even when the nets that we need to let go of are good things, thank you, Lord, that in letting go, those things don't become bad things. They just become things that need to be reordered. Thank you, Lord, that you reorder things so that they can continue to be generating blessing upon blessing upon blessing in our life. Lord, whatever came up for us today, whatever comes up for me, would we let go of that net? Would we trust that what's on the other side of following you is good, is better? In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, as you're able, would you stand and respond in worship?